The Giants got a much needed win last night, but they're still not in the best position here. They're 49-50. They're three games back in the wildcard race as the trade deadline approaches very rapidly here. So we're going to get to more mailbag questions, talk about what the Giants should do at the trade deadline next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and on the show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And where we start today, I want to briefly just mention the Giants got a much-needed win. What stood out to me, Alex Wood pitched great. Gabe Kapler showed some fire. He actually came out and kind of yelled at an umpire, which is something we have very rarely seen from him. He's talked about this team needing more fire. Well, should start with him, and it was actually good to see. Sometimes if you're frustrated out there and the umpires are doing foolish things, as umpires tend to do sometimes, go out there and yell at them a little bit. I think that that's a good thing. So it was good to see. And Yermín Mercedes had a big hit. And Camilo Duvall, honestly, the biggest takeaway from the game for me was Camilo Duvall is throwing a sinker. Okay, so he didn't have this pitch until a couple weeks ago. He first featured it in a game on July 14th. And his whole arsenal gets unlocked by this pitch that runs in on right-handed hitters to me, because his slider and his primary fastball, which classifies as a cutter, both are either kind of straight, the fastball with a little cut, and the slider, obviously big movement away from righties. And if you can add upper 90s moving in on righties, it just unlocks the whole thing. He's not had great results on his primary fastball, and people ask, why doesn't he throw his fastball more? It hasn't had great results, and I've always thought he needs to add a pitch that moves in, whether it's a changeup or a sinker, two-seamer, moving in on righties, and then that stuff that moves away just plays that much more. And so it has been a dirty pitch. He threw it half of the time in the outing yesterday. 9 of his 18 pitches were the sinker. It averaged like 98 miles an hour, 97.4 actually, I think. And he struck out the side. He gave up a bloop hit, but had three strikeouts. So that was really good to see. And Duvall, this is the thing, that like the theme that has emerged almost in the immediate past for me is that there are some players besides Logan Webb who have kind of future value to this team. They're helping them now, and they're going to help them moving forward. And Duvall, if he's already been good, and if he can add that pitch and just, I think he could be dominant. I think he could be, I mean, we all can see that the potential is there with this guy, but man, did he look unhittable basically last night. So I'm very intrigued by him. You've got Logan Webb, of course, under club control for multiple seasons, and you've got guys like Tyro Estrada, who just, he's been kind of hot lately. He's been one of the few bright spots in the lineup recently, and he's played a decent shortstop in, you know, filling in for Brandon Crawford. So I'm intrigued by Estrada. He's had a solid year. And then you've got guys like Luis Gonzalez, who have also had a solid year. So anyway, let me just jump right into the mailbag questions, and some of these are tied in with those points. But Russ says, you think it's most likely the Giants sell, buy, or pretty much stand pat at the trade deadline? I have said, and I'll continue to say, that I don't think standing pat makes any sense for the Giants, because I do think if you're going to stand pat, you might as well make some minor additions that don't cost too much in terms of prospect cost. Like, you can get a couple bullpen pieces without giving up your top prospects, and that would absolutely be worth it, as opposed to just standing pat. I just don't think it makes any sense at all to stand pat. And so for me, given their position right now, like I said, three games back in the standings as of right now, and playoff odds according to Fangraphs of 24%, This isn't what I, the question wasn't what does Ben think they should do? It's what do you think is most likely? I think buying continues to be the most likely. And I can hear the collective groan from all the team sell listeners out there. And I've talked about this a ton. Like, all we're talking about is the trade deadline. In order to sell, it really, really better be worth it, because you're giving up on a season that, while it has definitely looked bleak recently and for much of the season, they just haven't looked like a great team. You're still in the race and you can get into the playoffs, and you just never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. And if you're sitting there thinking you do know, you don't. And if you know, if you think you know, go ahead and bet at Bet Online on who's going to win each and every playoff series, and let me know how that works out, because baseball is unpredictable. And while I encourage you to go to Bet Online and place some bets if it's legal where you are, it's hard to bet on baseball because it's so unpredictable. So for me, if you have a shot, you go for it. And I'm not saying give up your best prospects to push all your chips in on 2022. Like I said, though, you can add a Joey Wendell and a couple of bullpen pieces without, you know, you're just giving up maybe some lottery tickets to those teams, because these guys are often, they're not superstar talents, and they're impending free agents on teams that are not contending. And so if they don't trade these players, the players are going to hit free agency and leave, and they get nothing. And so they don't have a lot of leverage on these guys. And so if you give them something of some intrigue, you can get a decent player at the deadline without giving up much. And so for me, at the very least, that makes sense. However, I would still simultaneously parallel paths here. Listen on trade offers. And I talked about this yesterday. I don't think you're getting anything of significance for any of your like obvious trade candidates except Carlos Rodon. Jock Peterson, not going to bring back much in a trade, even if he was playing well, which he's not. He's really not playing well. And he's limited defensively, limited as a runner, limited at the plate, because he doesn't hit left-handed pitching well. He only hits right-handed pitching well. And so he's kind of one-dimensional, and he's signed for 2 months, and you're just not going to get much for that. Rodon, on the other hand, could be an ace in October, could lead you to the playoffs, and could potentially go on a run. Like, if he's pitching well, he's an ace in the playoffs, and that's very valuable. And so I think they should absolutely listen on Carlos Rodon, and it is possible to trade a guy like Rodon, and, you know, they have some rotation depth. Like, Matthew Boyd could be coming back. They've got their rotation has actually been pretty solid. If you lose Rodon, it takes a big hit, but you could buy a lesser starter for, you know, giving up middling prospects just to fill in that rotation. And I don't know. I don't think that's the best path, but I do think that small additions at this moment in time, I'm on team make small additions. I know some people don't agree with that, but here's the thing. If you make large additions, you're giving up actual future value, like valuable future pieces. Like, if you're talking Marco Luciano, Kyle Harrison, Luis Matos, any of your top guys, I just don't think they're in a position to give up those guys on win now moves. They need those guys to start being infused into the majors. Now, if you're talking about Juan Soto or Shohei Ohtani, I start to say, well, that may be a different story. But first of all, I don't think Ohtani probably ends up getting moved, even though the Angels probably should trade him right now. And Juan Soto, I just don't think the Giants are the favorites. But yeah, small additions, but meaningful additions. Like, these guys would bullpen help and defensive help. When I mentioned Wendell, he can hit right-handed pitching. He can play above average defense at third, short, and second. And he's left-handed. I think that left-handed as a hitter, right-handed as a thrower. I think that that would help this team a lot. And then maybe a similar type of player in the outfield. You could buy low on a Joey Gallo and just hope he figures it out. Just something. Their outfield is kind of crowded, but maybe you trade Peterson and you bring in, I don't know. Anyway, coming up in just a minute, we are going to get to our next question, which is looking at the silver lining for the timing of the Giants' collapse here. And there is one. But first, as you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmlb. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmlb to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, as promised, we are going to continue getting to these mailbag questions. I'm feeling much better. I don't know about you, but my goodness, like I was cranky for like a couple weeks straight there. The Giants, I've seen this said before, and I agree that my mental health is like in a better place when the Giants are playing well, and it's in a worse place when they're playing poorly. And not only were they on a 7-game losing streak, but there was the All-Star break before that. So it had been since 2 Sundays ago that the Giants had won a baseball game, and it felt that way. But, you know, a win, and I went on a rant, and honestly, it felt good. A couple episodes ago, we were handing out blame about who to blame for the Giants' unacceptably poor performance. And it felt good to get all that out. And it needed to be said. But at the same time, I'm feeling a little bit more rational about the situation. And the situation is that they're still in this race as poorly as they played. I do think that better defense and would go a long way on this team because the pitching numbers are like suggesting much better results than they've had. And I just 100% blame the defense, which has just been extremely bad. And so if you start tightening up the defense, we saw that last night. That's the other thing that stood out from the game last night is they played good defense and voila, a win. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. The MLB trade deadline is August 2nd, and Locked On MLB has all the breakdowns. Locked On Giants will have rapid reactions to every move made, any and every move made. Subscribe now to Locked On Giants on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you can get notified when each episode premieres. All right, getting to the next question. Matt in Maine says, is there any silver lining at all to tanking at the worst possible time in the season? So somebody else answered this. I'm always reading other people like The Chronicle and The Athletic, and maybe it was a mailbag. Somebody answered this. And yes, I agree with whatever that person said, if you saw it, which is that, yes, it is good that it happened now prior to the trade deadline as opposed to right after it. Because imagine if you kind of make some win now moves. As I've said, like even if you go out and get a Juan Soto in baseball, the Nationals have Juan Soto and they're the worst team in the league. So one player does not completely transform your team. It just doesn't work that way in Major League Baseball. And even two, you know, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout have been on the Angels, and the Angels are always bad. Trout's hurt right now. But anyway, so let's just say you give up Luciano and Harrison. You just push all your chips in. You go get Juan Soto. And then everybody else around him has the type of performance we just saw over the last week. And he can't do it all. And he's rated as a poor defender. So maybe he's contributing to your defensive incompetence, and it would be like, oh no, we just did all this, we just pushed all our chips in. Maybe you get somebody else in addition, and you just like shell your farm system trying to win now, and then your team falls apart after the deadline. They revealed themselves in a way. Like we know this is the Giants. Like they have defensive problems. They are, you know, unathletic. We've talked about all this a lot, but the bullpen needs help. So it's actually kind of in a way the best time for this to happen because they got a good cold hard dose of reality. And to me, like, okay, you're 49-50, so you are what your record says you are, and they're about a 500 team right now that has a run differential that suggests that maybe they should be a few wins better than that. And all these indicators that the defense, like I said, if you could just tighten up the defense, then maybe you would be much better. And so I think it's a perfectly fine time for this to have happened. They didn't kind of do anything that they regret with this happening at this moment in time. So it's fine that it happened now. Better before the deadline than after, in my opinion. And Curtis says, can the ever positive Ben Caspick offer us any hope in these trying times? It's hard to tune in and watch these games. What can I look forward to? And again, these were questions that were sent to me before they won. So I'm assuming, hopefully, Curtis, you were able to watch that game and you didn't miss out, because for the first time in a long time, it was a fun game to watch from the Giants' perspective. So this is what I was saying when I mentioned Doval and Webb and Estrada and Luis Gonzalez. I do think that there are some players on this team who represent kind of hope for the future. Not that they're terrible right now, right? They're like a 500 team right now. But like Doval could potentially be a star reliever. I definitely believe, like, he's had great results despite, in my opinion, like his pitch shape on the cutter, just it gets hit hard. And so he's just basically with a slider and upper 90s to kind of take hitters off the slider. But then he features the slider primarily because the other pitch was hit hard. But if you add that 99 mile an hour sink, I think the other fastball, which is called a cutter, even though it's often mostly straight, I think, and then the slider, which has always been great, it unlocks the whole arsenal. But even with this other, you know, the limited arsenal, he had a career 2.88 ERA, 3.33 FIP, 3.06 expected FIP. So the numbers have been really good for him, even though he's been a work in progress. And so I'm super intrigued. Like, I think he could be a top line reliever if this all comes together for him. So you've got him, and importantly, like the contract status. So Doval is under club control through the 2027 season. So you've got him for 5 more years after 2022, if you want. That's the thing about club control and being pre-arbitration eligible. Arbitration eligible is like every year is a club option. You're not committed. So if things go south, you can always get out from underneath it. But if he pitches well, you have the club control. And then Tyro Estrada under club control for 4 additional seasons. Luis Gonzalez under club control for 6 additional seasons after 2022. And then Logan Webb under club control for 3 seasons after 2022. So they've got some future pieces here. The kind of issue is that Estrada and Gonzalez, while useful players, are not stars. But that's why I'm like, do you trade a Marco Luciano? Because you kind of need these guys to come up from the minor leagues and be real contributors and like not just platoon guys. Marco Luciano, if he's a platoon guy, it's a disaster. That's the thing, is they need everyday talent to come up through the minors, and eventually that'll happen. And so in the meantime, I think we've seen strong performance from a couple pitchers and a couple position players who look like they're going to be here a while and be semi-foundational pieces to varying degrees. So the next question comes from Gonzalo V, who says, Giants trade Rodon and flip those prospects and others for Jazz Chisholm and Pablo Lopez. I think Lopez is a little more even temperament. So we're going to answer this question, which is obviously an intriguing one. Jazz Chisholm and Pablo Lopez, both very good. So what is the feasibility of something like that? We'll talk about it momentarily. But first, BetOnline.net is the fastest and the easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. Lately, they've been putting out a bunch of odds about Juan Soto's next destination, and at first, the Giants were listed as the third most likely team. But in recent days, it's fallen, and the Giants were like 9th or 10th most likely, according to BetOnline last time I checked. So head to BetOnline today, or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, as promised, more mailbag questions, and specifically this question from Gonzalo, who asks, do you trade Rodon and then use those prospects plus some others to get Jazz Chisholm and Pablo Lopez. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say the reason I'm saying no is not because you don't want Jazz Chisholm and Pablo Lopez. It's because, and I think this gets like missed, these guys are not going to be easy to acquire. Like you talk about Juan Soto having a lot of trade value. Well, Jazz Chisholm and Pablo Lopez also have a lot of trade value, and you're going to be giving up top talent in order to get a package consisting of those two. And so for Carlos Rodon alone, you're not coming anywhere close to the type of talent it would take to pry not just one of these guys, but both of these guys from the Marlins. There's just almost no way that this is realistic at all. I hate to say it, but like, I'm, without digging too much into this, Pablo Lopez is under club control for two seasons beyond 2022. Jazz Chisholm is under club control for four seasons beyond 2022. So you're getting, what, 6 years after 2022 combined for these two guys? You're giving up one or both of Luciano and Harrison in a package for these two, probably both when I am realistic about it. And that's probably not even enough. And so is it worth it? I mean, I guess you could possibly make the case given that you're getting, like, in some ways it makes more sense than Juan Soto because you're getting like the 4 years of Jazz Chisholm as opposed to just the two additional years of Juan Soto. And Soto's likely to want to test free agency, which is a problem because you might give up a ton to get him and then you might only have him for a couple of years. But just realistically, any prospect you get for Carlos Rodon isn't even going to get you probably a Pablo Lopez, or at least it might come close. Probably not, though. You're getting 2 months of Rodon. Whoever's acquiring him is getting him for 2 months versus Lopez, who's a very, very good pitcher, and you're getting him for for 2 months plus two more years. So yeah, whatever you get for Rodon isn't coming close to even getting Pablo Lopez, and Jazz Chisholm has more value than Pablo Lopez. So using whatever you get for Rodon isn't even remotely in the ballpark of being enough to get these two. So I hate to say it, but that's just not realistic. And unless the Marlins just really want to give up on these two, I don't see this happening. Jonathan Cake says, how much of a free pass do Wade and Yaz get before the brass moves on from them? I think that for Lamont Wade Jr., it's probably less time than we might think because he is out of minor league options and not performing all that well at all. And he's been injured and he's under club control for three seasons after 2022. And I could see them, the Giants, that is, I could see them trading away one of these guys. And if you're going to trade one, I could definitely more likely see it being Lamont Wade Jr. And so we've mentioned in possible packages to other teams, like Wade would have some value. He's not going to bring back a huge return by himself, but he has some value and Mike Yastrzemski has even more value. So both are actually under club control through the 2025 season. Both are arbitration eligible. Yaz is kind of a rare guy who has 4 years of arbitration eligibility. Wade will be entering his first year of arbitration eligibility next year. Wade is kind of under the radar, a guy who could possibly be on the move in the type of buying move that the small type of buying move that the Giants might make at this deadline. So that's something to watch out for. And actually, the next question comes from Mr. Not So Nice Guy, who says, clearly the Giants are sellers and Rodon is as good as gone. But who is one guy many don't think will get traded, but actually ends up moved? My guess is Belt. Have a feeling he gets traded in the next week. I think Belt is very unlikely, personally, because he has 10-5 rights. So he can veto any trade. And I don't see why, if you're Brandon Belt, you live here, you've been here your whole life, your whole career. I don't see why you would accept a trade. And he's also not performing well. So I don't see why he would have a lot of value. And why would the Giants trade him for like very minimal return at this point? So I don't see that happening. And like I said, I think Lamont Wade Jr., probably under the radar, is a trade candidate because their outfield is kind of crowded as it is. And I'm not sure he's shown enough to warrant him being some kind of foundational future piece. I'd rather have Luis Gonzalez. And Gonzalez would probably draw some interest if you're looking at a bigger trade, and honestly, even a smaller trade. Teams are going to inquire about Gonzalez, but I think that one of these outfielders, whether it's Gonzalez or Wade or Yastrzemski, there's kind of a crunch underlying all of this. I'm going with Wade as the guy who could be an under-the-radar candidate to get moved this season. So that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen today. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. We will be back on Monday, but if there's anything that happens between now and then, and there very well could be, look out for like an emergency podcast from us. We're going to do one, definitely, if a trade of significance happens over the weekend. So anyway, if nothing happens, we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. And as always, stay locked on Giants.